Welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Niebergall, and today I had a very special guest with me. I had Joe Yoon on the podcast. Now, you may know Joe better as Joe Therapy over on Instagram. Joe has 1.3 million followers over on Instagram. His Instagram account is the best that you will find regarding mobility, stability, everything, flexibility, and stretching. If you do not follow him, please go over there right now and follow Joe Therapy. We had a great discussion on this podcast. We talked all about all of that, mobility, stability, the whole thing, how important it is as we age. We talk about cranky shoulders. We talk about cranky knees, cranky hips, everything that a lot of us have gone through before. So go get your coffee, put up your feet, and take a listen. I think you're going to absolutely love this episode. And I know this is a crazy time for all of us. And if you are in need of more body weight workouts or at-home workouts that you can do right now, please go visit our inner circle at www.sfinnercircle.com. Jordan and I have hundreds of body weight workouts, minimal equipment workouts that you can do right now. Hope you enjoy this episode. Oh, hey, Joe, how are you? There you are.
I think we're good.
Yeah, good. Good to see you. How are you?
I am good. How are you over there?
Yeah, I'm in D.C., technically Virginia, but we always say D.C. because it's a lot easier. We're right next door.
And you're getting hit pretty hard over there, right?
The Virginia governor just laid down the law like 2 days ago. He got so pissed at people going to Virginia Beach. He said, okay, you want to play? Okay, we're at shelter in place till June 10th.
Holy crap.
Holy crap is right. You know, I am a school counselor by trade, and I just think psychologically that was a bad move to do that in March, is to tell everybody you're stuck until June. That really, for your brain, not a great thing to hear, where maybe the 30-day increments and reevaluate might be a little bit better, but it's not really anything different than what we've been doing. It is all the stores are open. Almost all of the stores are open. They
oh,
only
really?
Let so many, yeah, which is weird. They let so many people in at a time. That's it. Starbucks drive-through, the line is like winding around a block. You know, it's you can't go in the store, but you can go through the drive-through.
Yeah,
It's just weird. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, I think Florida just did a stay-at-home yesterday officially for the whole state.
Yeah,
I think if there was a little bit more like clarity between all the states and stuff, it might be a little bit better. But yeah, June. I looked at my calendar for a second. I'm like, wait, what month are we in right now? Because that's a long time.
That is
to throw out there. Yeah,
it is. It is a long time. I think he at his press conference, he was really not happy. So I think that was like, okay, kids, we're done. That's
yeah.
Kind of what that message was, I think. But are you surviving? You're in Orlando, right?
I'm in Orlando. Yeah, we're starting to spike a little bit, which is a little scary. But Orange County, where I'm at, right around Orlando, we've been stay at home for a couple weeks now, and now the statewide is going down. But again, you know, we had the whole spring break issue, and they didn't do anything about that, and you know. The state was getting some backlash, so I think probably should have done it earlier, but
yeah,
you know, at least we're starting, you know, now.
You're doing it now, and that's
yeah.
What matters. Yeah, I literally got out of Orlando probably 2 days before things hit the fan. Like, I was staying down on Disney property. We have Disney vacation property there.
Yeah.
And we never use it really that much anymore, and I'm like, I need to get out of D.C. because I needed some sun and warmth. So I just went down there not to do all the stuff, but just to get out and get some sun and warmth. And I'm staying at Disney's very, really nice anyway. So I literally left, and 2 days later, Disney shuts down. They shut everything down.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, because I remember you said you were coming to Orlando. I think I might have just been coming back from New
York.
The day I left.
But, like, right after that, right? I mean, it all started changing.
Yeah.
So we're trying to survive, but I thank you for doing this amidst all this craziness right now. And I think this is actually great stuff that we can talk about, because I think people in the some people like to focus on fat loss right now and they need that. And then other people say, I can't focus on fat loss right now. That's too crazy. But this kind of stuff, mobility and stretching and all that, I think that's something everyone could focus on right now, you know, including
100%.
Me. Yeah. So why don't you take a second and just tell everybody a little bit about you and kind of your background and how you got to be where you are right now.
Yeah, so right now I'm a massage therapist and I have a practice here in Orlando. And but I started off as a personal trainer. So that's where kind of all this mobility and stability and stretching came about, was when I first started in the industry. I was just working at the big box gym in Boston and got into the golf industry eventually. And what happens in golf is you have to have really good mobility to get into the positions that your coach wants you to get into so you can be efficient. So that's where everything kind of elevated from there. And that's where kind of the passion came from. So when I started my own business down here with sports therapy and trying to promote for that because I didn't have any clients or anything, I said, hey, let's jump on Instagram and see if I can get some traction here, do some videos of clients, do some pictures with clients, and then ended up doing videos that helped people that were not local to me. So that's where all these massage techniques came from and these stretching techniques, because I was getting a lot of messages saying, hey, Joe, I love your massage. I wish I could get, you know, one from you, but I live in California. And I was like, well, damn, like, how can I help this person?
Yeah.
And I started doing those tennis ball self-massage techniques. And that's how the whole Instagram started. And that started beginning of 2017 and just kept it going until today.
And that, and by the way, your Instagram, everyone needs to go follow him. He's Joe Therapy on, I mean, I think that's how everyone knows you, Joe Therapy. Your last name is Yoon, but you'll find him as Joe Therapy on Instagram. And it's one of the most informative Instagrams that there is out there. And it shows because your following is outrageous.
Yeah, it grew quick and it was at a really interesting time. You know, everyone talks about the algorithms and everything.
Yeah.
Algorithms were bumping. They were popping back in 2017.
Yeah.
So when you would, you know, something, you would get an influx of people if, you know, that post really resonated with people. And that's when I, you know, met Jordan for the first time, was his posts were starting to explode. So it's like everyone knew who everyone was because we were all growing together. But we were really putting out amazing information at the same time. And I think that's the time where everyone needed it, because it was so Instagram fitness model and kind of bullshit exercises and, you know, stuff. And then, you know, then it had all the other stuff. And then the actual educational aspect of it was kind of missing. So I think people were just fiending for that at the time. So I think that's why we got super popular.
I think so. And I also think just the quality of what you've done, though, I mean – is it's so easy for people to relate and apply. And I think that's key.
That was very important. I didn't really realize it for a little bit. I remember I went to London with a client and I had drinks with someone I met online. Just, you know, he's a fitness guy over in the UK. And I was like, hey, let's go grab some drinks real quick. And he was like, Joe, your information is just like amazing. And you know why? It's because a six-year-old can watch your videos and understand what's going on. And that didn't really, I didn't really know about that, you know, theory back then, but I was like, you know what? I guess it makes sense. And I wasn't speaking in any of those videos either. So people who didn't speak English also could figure out what I was doing, which I think is why it also got a little bit more popular than most people, because I wasn't just catering towards people who speak English. I could cater towards people who spoke Spanish and Japanese.
It didn't matter.
Yeah. It was just, I can see what he's doing and I can figure it out.
Yeah. I think that has been so helpful. And for people in my generation, I say that because I'm significantly older than just about everyone on the planet, it seems like, most of the time. it is super, it's
on the
planet. What's that?
You're in better shape than most people on the planet, though.
I will tell you this. You know, I'm about to turn 60 next month, and I feel real mixed about that. I feel like, yeah, you know what? I'm in a good place right now at 60. But then you're like, holy shit, you're 60. You know, kind of messes with your mind a little bit. But people in my generation are kind of, you know, I had someone tell me once that I wouldn't find middle-aged people on Instagram. Like, if that's who I wanted to kind of get my message out to, I would find them, like, on Pinterest or Facebook, too. But someone directed me towards Pinterest. And on the surface, I thought, yeah, maybe I could see that. It makes logical sense. But what I found is just the opposite, actually. Forget Pinterest. It's like I don't have that high of a master's education to figure Pinterest out. I don't. I tried. I said, forget that. So I focused on Instagram, and everyone is there. They're there. My whole business has been from Instagram pretty much. And so with that generation there, you are catering not only to multi-generations, very easy to understand, easy to access, but multiple – I mean, it doesn't matter what language you speak to watch your videos, you know, and I think that's huge.
Oh, exactly. And when I look at my demographic, the majority is, you know, between 24 and 35 or 25 to 34. But it goes all the way from 18 to, you know, 55, 60. So it's, you know, I think Instagram is just so good because it's so easy to use and it's so visual where, you know, when I think Pinterest, you know, I know people do a lot of clothes on there and, you know,
decorating
apartment designs. Yeah. That, I mean, that's at least what I think of. So I don't go there for the educational stuff. But yeah, I mean, Instagram has essentially changed my life, so I love it.
So you have in-person practice in Orlando too?
I do. So that's what I started with when I started my Instagram. It was to promote my massage therapy business. Right. I had zero business. I was in the golf industry, and I ended up pivoting because I was failing, and I was like, I need money. So I was seeing that there was a big need for massage therapy, especially with bodybuilders, because Florida is a very fitness oriented area, a lot of fitness competitors, and there's only a handful of people these bodybuilders would go to because they only thought X amount of people could give them the service that they wanted. So you know, it was very easy to slide in there, but I didn't have any marketing behind me. So one of the greatest things about Instagram, for at least the business perspective, is it's free. And everyone's on it, just like you're saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's again, like it could be word of mouth, but then if they put it on Instagram, it could be exponentially greater because more people are seeing it. And then if the algorithm is in your favor, even more people saw you. So that's what happens. And I wasn't even really doing anything online with my membership site. It was just every hour, whatever I could get for a massage therapy session, I was doing. Until I figured I was going to get burnt out and my hands would start hurting, which they have a little bit. So I pivoted a little bit there to bring in an online membership. So right now I only work on, more of my clients that had my phone number from before.
Okay.
And my clientele from the beginning, and also some of my higher level athletes.
So let's talk about the online membership. What is that like?
Yeah, so it's called Joe Pro, but I'm pivoting that as well. I'm a lot of pivoting nowadays.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to elevate that membership site too. Basically, I have something called the weekly routine, which is kind of the signature video on the website. And for me, it's all about getting people to move a little bit every single day and make it very uncomplicated because, you know, just like fitness and nutrition, I think it can get overcomplicated
a lot of the times.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're both in the same boat. It's like, keep it simple, stupid. Where for me, it's, hey, a lot of these stretches and mobility exercises, they can help a ton. You just have to be consistent with it. So my weekly routine, I keep it simple. 4 mobility exercises and stretches. And then we finish it up with a strengthener because strength is so important on top of being mobile. And you do that every single day for a week. And then if you get bored, we switch it up. So I give a new video every week because all of us have a little bit of ADD in us. So
totally agree with that.
And then I have all the random stuff on, you know, the individual stretches and exercises and a whole bunch of bonus stuff on the website too.
I think that's so great. And, you know, especially right now, one thing that I've been doing during this whole quarantine thing is focusing more on mobility and especially mobility for me in my shoulder, my hip, just because of some issues that I've had. And, you know, it seems to be that that and stretching are things that when we go to the gym, we don't want to do. We just want to get to the workout. We don't have time. You know, we don't even warm up. We just go and, you know, and what I've noticed since I've been making the time, since I'm not going to the gym, I'm staying here, that even in the 2 weeks that I've just been doing some very simple, so T-spine stuff, especially for me right now, has been mm-hmm. super helpful with everything. My shoulders feel great. My hip feels great. It's just, like you said, the consistent practice. You know, I think that's something that we don't do. Maybe this one blessing out of all of this is something that we could do.
Yeah, right now, again, it's a very awkward time. And, you know, I'm using it as working on a lot of my weaknesses. So I'll do a lot of my mobility work. But then I also do a lot of my stability work, too. So, again, for me, that's what I end up not doing at the gym, right? It's your clamshells and all the stuff that's supposed to keep you healthy. You just, you know, jump right into the big weights and then you neglect some of the core muscles too. So, for me, I'm finding it's like a great time to work on my mobility, my stability, my unilateral movements, because it's tough to load our bodies bilateral right now. Well, you got a barbell behind you, but for me, you know, I just have an apartment, no real workout equipment. So, doing a lot of unilateral work just to get me going, but I'm realizing how weak I am in certain movements on one leg, and it's a great time to work on that. And then
Bulgarian split squats, get them.
Get them. I hate those.
Everyone does.
I know. It's like what you're supposed to, if you hate it, you're supposed to do it. But I mean, for me, I hate legs.
They're so
which
hard.
Is probably why they're skinny. So that's what I'm working on right now while I'm in quarantine or self-isolation.
Yeah.
Work on my weaknesses. Well, when I get out of here, it's at least not embarrassing.
Oh, I hear you. Let's talk for a second, because I was always confused about the difference between mobility and stability. Mm-hmm. I think people use those terms and maybe not in the correct way to apply to themselves.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of confusion around things like flexibility, mobility, stability.
Yeah.
What's the damn difference? They're all the same, right? So for me, like flexibility is more of kind of that passive range of motion where you're not doing too much. You're just kind of holding a position, and it's just how far can, you know, your leg go until you feel a stretch. Where mobility is more of being a little bit more active, more range of motion in the joints. So actually moving through the range of motion. So whenever you see a mobility exercise or prescribe, it's probably usually you do reps because you got to move through them. Excuse me. And the stability is controlling that movement.
Mm.
So again, like you need a little bit of everything for it to work. But depending on who you are, maybe you need a little bit more mobility. And for some people, maybe you need more stability. So, and that's when, you know, a professional like you comes in to tell people which one they should be doing more of.
You know, when I had a shoulder impingement on my right shoulder many years ago, many, many years ago, my orthopedic doctor is an athlete too. So he gets the mentality of this, which was really significant for me. But he ended up doing a scope just to shave down some bone, whatever. And that was a very minor procedure, and really 2 weeks out, you know, it was not a big deal. And my shoulder has bounced back. It's better than it ever has been. He said, however, judging by the size of my acromion, I'm probably going to have the same issue over here, which over time I did. This one was worse. And literally, supposedly, my MRI showed a full thickness tear, and I was scheduled for rotator surgery. And I'm like, you know, I canceled it about 3 days before with his blessing. And I just said, I just don't feel, my gut was telling me don't do this yet. And at that time, I found, I don't know what I call him. I call him a movement doctor here, a local guy who I love because he's a functional movement guru. He reminds me of you very much. You all think very much alike. A lot of the same kinds of stuff. And he was focusing me on movements to improve my shoulder and treatments like dry needling and other things too. But in ART and a bunch of things, we went through the gamut of stuff. But over years with Jordan's programming, Yeah, no, I mean, it's helped. And I think one thing I've learned along this whole path was how important stability was for me, which I think was lacking in, for me personally. Didn't even think of what that was or why this joint even needed to be stable and how important that is. And I see that in a lot of my clients and a lot of our inner circle members, that shoulders keep coming up as one of those nagging things that keeps at us. And I know, as I have found, that as I've gotten older and I'm in the on the computer more and more and more, you know, my shoulders are, you know, this is kind of my new normal, right? Yeah, like, yeah. And then if I go to the gym and I start a move from this position, I'm like grinding through where my shoulders shouldn't be. And I try to, one thing my doc has helped me with when I try to preach to people is be aware where your shoulders are all the time. I think it starts with awareness, right?
Yeah, it's all about awareness. And, you know, when we're sitting at the computer, I'm a little bit less worried about the posture. Obviously, mm-hmm. I don't want you like turning time. But, you know, if you're a little hunched over, not that big of a deal. But when you're working out and you're using weight, that's where the issues start popping up. And that's where the overuse syndrome comes into play. That's where the wear and tear comes from. And shoulders, it's like we use it for everything. It's back exercises, shoulder exercises, chest exercises. So it just gets planks and core exercises. It just gets overused.
Yeah,
which
everything.
Is what exactly. And that's why people have a tendency to complain a lot about them, is just because, I mean, you're using it for almost every exercise that you're doing. So if your awareness is not there, you know, you'll start feeling the pain faster than probably most people.
Yeah, I tell people, even, and I see this a lot, I don't know if you see this, I see this a ton, when people are doing even like a dumbbell lunge, they're holding two dumbbells, one on each hand, and they're doing like a reverse lunge, fairly simple exercise, I watch people do them, and their shoulders are completely forward, and yeah. And I think, okay, no, get them here, hold this position, and do that reverse lunge. That takes that whole lunge to a different level when you have to keep everything where your shoulders are really supposed to be. I mean, this is where they're supposed to be, you know, and a lot of people are here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I like to use that time to really concentrate on perfect positioning. So if you pull your shoulders back, you're going to work the stability of your shoulder. But on top of that, you might see a weakness in your core, because a lot of people actually pull their shoulders back, they don't realize they start arching in their low back.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, damn, I got to tighten my abs up again so I'm more stable.
Yeah.
And then go into your squat or split squat.
Yeah.
And that all happens, you know, during the exercise. So you can be working your shoulders, your abs, your lower body all at the same time.
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as you're aware of it.
Yeah. I loved to talk about that because I think that's so underrated. I don't think people really get, cause I get questions about my shoulders all the time. I'm like, look, you guys, you know, yeah, I do shoulder exercises, but I do more other stuff like that, you know? And even if you do a good RDL, you try to keep your shoulders back on a good RDL. I mean, yeah, it's easy to let them slump forward and let the bar just go wherever it goes. But to engage your core and get your shoulders stabilized, that's ridiculously hard. Controlling your body is a whole nother art form, I think.
Yeah, it's especially those like RDLs and the single leg deadlifts. You almost get like a false positive sometimes because your shoulders and your upper back will start bending over and you're like, I'm going pretty damn far.
Yeah.
And then when you look at that video, you know, like, you've gone that far.
It's yeah.
Your upper body. But yeah, the movements, you know, I'm pretty big stickler on technique. When you're in the gym, if one rep is off here and there, not a big deal. Like it's going to happen. But
sure.
I think the more you're, you know, a perfectionist in the gym, you can get a little bit more, you can get away with a little bit more when you're not perfect.
Yeah. You know, along with shoulders, knees come up a lot too. You know, I've got bad knees. I can't squat. I got bad knees. I can't lunge or whatever. And however their history of knees came up, I always find that it's usually they've not done anything to help improve their knees over time. You know, that's usually the big problem, because when I ask, so what are you doing right now to improve your knees or strengthen your knees or whatever. And it's usually, you know, crickets, not a lot. And I think it's honestly, it's because they don't know what to do, you know, and unless they go see a physical therapist or something like that. What do you generally see with knees? Because knees, you know, people then are going to be afraid to squat. They're going to be afraid to do just about anything.
Yeah. So knees are, again, the other big complaints. And, you know, one of the big things, I used to work with a lot of athletes. It was called return to sport. And it was actually a lot of kids and mostly soccer players that blew out the ACLs and they finished physical therapy. But we wanted to make sure that everything was okay and they could actually go back to their sport. Like they would be cleared by the physical therapist. So technically they could go play their sport, but at this facility, we were so adamant about, you know what, just because you're cleared doesn't mean you're ready yet. So we would go over a lot of these exercises to help people kind of get that quad strength back and make sure there's no pain in that knee before they actually went back to play their sport. One of the big things is glutes.
You know,
we talk, we could debate about the knee going in and out. But, you know, a lot of people who squat, their knees hurt. And if you put a band around their knees and they squat, it probably feels a lot better because the glutes are taking
work.
Exactly. They have to work and they at least take some of the pressure off of your knee. Just the, you know, just enough. So number one thing I would say, or one of the top things is glutes. Another thing is progressing through movement. So let's say you squat, just using the squat for an example, and your knees, you know, go over your toes again, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But let's say it bothers your knees. What we can do is maybe do more of like a box squat where you're not going as far down. So we keep the shin more vertical. So again, taking pressure off that knee and then eventually working your way up. So it's either you you know, you work your glutes, but other than that, it's dropping the weight of the bar or it's decreasing the range of motion. So squatting to something that's a little bit taller or, well, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. No, and I love that you mentioned box squats because that's my go-to all the time. Even, you know, a banded box squat with nothing and then adding a goblet or, you know, whatever, loading it from that perspective. But I think the glute connection, man, what I've learned with going through my hip stuff and even undiagnosed low back stuff can be tied to that, I find. Do you find that too?
Yeah. You know, again, I talk to a lot of people who are way smarter than me who are, you know, medical. And they don't like to point their fingers at certain body parts causing certain other issues happening. And, you know, if your low back bothers you, everyone's always pointing to the glutes. Saying that, do I think the glutes have a huge impact on your low back? 100%.
Yeah.
So I always make sure that I have the obvious, I call them like the usual suspects. Like if you have knee pain, hey, how are your glutes? How is your ankle mobility? All that stuff. Like how's your quad strength? And then if your low back hurts, how are your glutes? How are your core? And then when those are, you know, not working, then we can start looking down the rabbit hole, but I call those the usual suspects. And usually most people who have strong glutes, strong core, and move decently, they usually have less pain than someone who has weak glutes and weak cores.
100%. And taking all of that for someone who's getting older and the importance of all of that now, I would love to hear your thoughts on that because I will tell you, just taking care of my elderly mom who passed away about a year ago, watching her decline and the lack of strength and the lack of mobility and the lack of anything that whole generation had, you know, my generation is luckier than hers because we know more and your generation is luckier than mine because you guys know more than we, you know, I mean, there's so much more that we know now, but the importance of all of this now, regardless of how old you are, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was a little bit younger, it's all about aesthetics. It's about having huge shoulders and looking jacked at the beach, where now I put a little more appreciation on, you know, maybe dropping the weight down a little bit. It's not as important for me. I just want to not be in pain all the time and move a little bit better. I still want to look good. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I think the priorities change a little bit. And when you even get a little bit older, you know, time is kind of against you a little because you just can't move, you know, yeah. the way you used to. It's just natural. But if you can keep moving as best as you can and maybe be a little bit smarter on your training, then, you know, it's going to help exponentially because you're continuing to weight train. You're continuing to do your mobility work and your nutrition is great. It doesn't have to be balls to the walls. I think we have to have like a little, ego check at the door because, you know, I still think I can do stuff that I used to do in high school. And then I go back into the gym. I'm like, ooh, that's not happening. So, you know, as you get older, you know, maybe pick your battles and, pick the exercises that you know you can perform well and that challenge you and maybe stick to that for now.
I think that is such a great point because we can get caught up in the ego thing. You know, my colleagues in this industry, you being one of them, y'all are way younger than me. And so I see what a lot of you guys do and I'm like, I want to do that too. And then I'm like, oh no, 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 no. If I want to do this until I'm 100 years old, I better pick and choose now what I do. And so my whole outlook has changed. You know, when I first started working with Jordan 4 years ago, I went to him because I wanted to power lift.
That was my
thing back then. That has dramatically changed over 4 years. That's not on my radar whatsoever right now. I went through a whole muscle building phase. That was interesting. I want to do that again. And I just, you know, I have aesthetic goals too, sure, but I also have health goals. Now I'm way more aware of how I feel and how all of this makes me feel. And I'm way more aware of exercise selection now than, you know, I really didn't care so much earlier on, but now I do. I think your point's very well taken about as we age, our priorities, and we have to check our egos at the door for sure.
Yeah, I think one of the most important things is learning what your goals are and then kind of sticking yeah. to it because – and not thinking about what other people think of you. I think when I go to the gym – well, when I used to go to the gym and I wasn't as strong as before, it's like I thought people were judging me like, oh, man, Joe's a wussy because he can't do this. Mm-hmm. And then as I got a little bit older, I'm like, well, I don't care what those people think. As long as I'm doing what I think is right and makes me happy and it's reaching my goals, then it's fine. It's very, you know, very similar to someone who's brand new at the gym. It's like they're intimidated to go to the gym about
sure.
what other
yeah.
people think about them.
Yeah.
But once you don't give a crap about what other people think about you, you're first of all way happier and you get results. That happens in health and business. And once that happened for my mindset, things have been way better.
And I totally agree with you. It's health and business, 100%. Been there too. Starting out in this industry, like, why the hell would anybody want to listen to a thing I had to say? You know, and being intimidated by all the technology and being intimidated by all the young people and, you know, hi, grandma over here. You know what I mean? It's kind of – but – you get over that, right? And then
yeah.
you end up helping, in your case, millions of people. I mean, it's amazing what that will do for all of us.
Yeah, and, you know, that's our goal. I think we all got into this. And you were a teacher before this, correct?
Yeah.
Or you're
yeah.
in the education system.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for us, it's all about helping people. I don't think we ever got into our professions to make a shit ton of money. You know, the money is great, but I think it's a byproduct of, you know, how we actually, what we actually want to do is help people. So I think that's super important. And once we kind of remember that, then, you know, everything's gravy. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. So let's talk about your book. I absolutely love your book. Joe's book is called Better Stretching. And the one, I love many things about it, but the thing I love the most is the layout and how, again, simplistic it is. It's not one of those, okay, you got to hunker down and read, you know? I mean, there's a lot of those out
yeah.
there. And I was so pleased to see a book that's so visual. And, you know, obviously lots and lots of pictures and short, brief explanations on how to do things. Was that your goal setting out for all of that?
I had a couple different battles inside of myself when I decided to start the book. And it could have gone in two different directions. It could have been a little bit more technical and catered more towards a fitness professional, or I could go towards a little bit more of maybe a more general population, something that could help more people. And I decided to go a little bit more of that route, just because I was looking at my Instagram page, and I do have fitness professionals and medical professionals following me, and I still think they can get some something out of it. But I wanted to keep it as simple as possible, so even the person who hasn't worked out ever can understand it and they don't feel intimidated. And my Instagram's so simplistic, and I wanted to make sure that carried over to my book, because I think it would be really weird if people follow me on Instagram and they saw a very easy layout and then they go into my book, it's 400 pages and talking about anatomy and physiology. It might be a little bit off. Maybe in the future, since I already have this book, I'll do one of those.
Yeah.
But that's why I decided to keep it nice and clean. And I've been getting really good feedback, because that was one worry in my brain. I'm like, no one's going to like it. It's going to be too simple.
Sure.
But then a lot of the people who have seen it, that's one of the first things they say. It's so simple. It's easy to follow. And it's, you know, it's perfect.
So, and the book is obviously focused on stretching. And the one thing I really liked, too, is at the beginning, you kind of go through, okay, what's static stretching versus what is this kind of stretching? What is that kind of stretching? And I think that's super important, because I think people, when they hear the word stretch, they think of just that, basically a static stretch. You know, you just get into a position and you just hold that position. But it's way more than that.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure people understood the differences. And also I want to debunk, you know, some of the myths that come about when it comes to stretching. So I did talk about a little bit of static stretching, dynamic stretching. But then I also talked a little bit about things that are not stretching related, you know, a little bit of the mobility exercise, or sorry, the mobility work, like foam rolling and self-massage. But I also wanted to add a section, which is probably surprising for most people, a strength training section or a strengthener section.
I love that.
And I wanted to make sure people realize that it's not just about stretching. It's the whole puzzle. It's the whole pie. It needs a little bit of everything for it to work. Where in social media, you know this, it's like people see you as one thing, and it's almost like you don't believe in other things. I'm like, no, I believe in strength training, but my specialty online is mobility exercises. And then there's also another reason is some people don't know that strength training is beneficial, and again, might be intimidated or don't know what the value of it is. So I call it a little bit of a gateway drug to getting people to strength train, because in my program, it's mobility exercises and stretches, and you finish up with some sort of a strengthener. And once people feel like, wow, this feels so much better and I feel so much stronger, maybe they go into a program like the Inner Circle, where they're less intimidated to work out now because they were introduced to it from something that, you know, started off as a stretching routine.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really great point. And you lay it out via body parts. And so, like, if someone says, yeah, you know, my, you know, hamstrings are tight or something, you have a whole section just on hamstrings. And I think that that is phenomenal. Have you ever in your practice or dealing with your membership group ever had a situation where stretching, like, and I'll just go from an injury perspective, if something feels tight, our inclination is it needs to be stretched.
Right.
And that's not always what needs to happen. A lot of times I learned that, unfortunately, the hard way. The dog was like, stop stretching. Jordan said, stop stretching, you know, and I'm wondering if you could address that. And if there's ways to know that.
So I actually have a little blurb about that in the book. It's we default to, if my hamstring hurts, you just go straight to, I want to stretch it.
Yeah.
What's a massage technique I can use to make it feel better? And it definitely helps to, you know, you can do a little bit of stretching to help kind of minimize some of the pain and discomfort. It has that just that feeling to it. But I do say in the book, it could be from something else. You know, a lot of us don't have the opportunity to go someone in person.
Yeah.
So maybe all they have is like an Instagram or a book. But I do always recommend seeing someone in person.
Sure.
If it's not a serious, or if it's more of a serious issue and it keeps popping up often.
Yeah.
But for the most part, what I say when someone hurts something right off the bat, so let's say you go to the gym and you're doing a deadlift or maybe nothing too crazy and you just tweak something. It's to let it calm down a little bit before you do anything to it, because I think the first thing you think of when you hurt something is you instantly, again, go to, I need to figure out how to stretch it. But that can actually irritate it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's inflamed now and you just hurt. Give it a little time. Let it calm down so the pain starts to dissipate a little bit, and then start moving it again. And then that's when the stretching and some of the self-massage stuff can come into play. And then at that point, then that's when you can get back into your normal workouts.
Do you find that people stretch, like when they stretch their body and your body's cold, you haven't done a thing, and you go right into a stretch, versus is there benefits to getting fairly warm in some way, shape, or form, and then going into a stretching routine?
Yeah, that's a very common question. I get that a ton on my Instagram. And then I also wrote that in my book too. It's a little bit of preference. You know, if you're, you know, going to go into more of a big stretching routine, yeah, maybe walking around a little bit or jumping on the elliptical or treadmill for a little bit just to get the body temperature up can be beneficial for you. Sometimes I won't do it. I'll just gradually go into the stretching. So for me, when I'm warming up, it might look like a little bit of the foam rolling, some of the static stretching, and then I'll go into the dynamic warm up. And then that's when I can really start pushing it a little bit and kind of get my body ready for the workout. So I say it's individual. Mm-hmm. If you really feel like you need it, yeah, jump on a treadmill. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I don't. And if you're feeling good, just go into your normal warm up.
Do you recommend people stretch before and after a workout, or how do you look at that?
So again, I like to do more of, so one thing first is static stretching. I know there's a lot of, there's sometimes controversy with static stretching that it uses power, all that stuff. It's such a small percentage that, it's probably not going to affect most people anyways.
Yeah.
And the effects are mitigated if you usually go through a regular warm-up after. So if you run through your dynamic warm-ups and your warm-up sets, usually there's no decrease in power or strength anyways. So it's only if you're holding a long stretch and then you go into an exercise, obviously you're probably going to feel a little bit weaker. So I like to stretch before. Can be a combination of both, always finishing a little bit more with the dynamic warm-ups and then warm-up sets. After, I always say it's a little bit more on the optional side, because you probably see a lot of people just, they're thrashed from the workout and they just walk outside.
They're like, I'm done. Yeah.
But it could be just a really good way to get your heart rate down, bring the nervous system down, and you can also kind of figure out, maybe I pushed this body part a little too hard. You can use it as like a scanning mechanism. So let's say you had a very tough posterior chain workout day. It's all hamstrings and glutes, and you were stretching your hamstrings. You're like, ooh.
Oh, boy.
Maybe I pushed it a little too hard. And then you're aware of that. So you can almost use it a little bit of a diagnostic tool on if you got injured, or maybe you should scale it back the next day.
And good, like for a lot of us, you know, that soreness, that, whoa, okay, hit that hard today, doesn't come till the next day or
sometimes
the day after that. Then do you recommend people would go into a little stretching routine at that point too?
Yeah, 100%. So you can definitely use the stretching again, because that's just going to make you feel better and it's going to make you, you know, move better. And I always like to almost reverse engineer it though. So if you're absolutely trashed from your workout and you are so sore that you can't like walk for a few days, then that's when the training program needs to be updated.
100%. Yes. That's because not being sore.
Exactly. Because being sore is totally normal. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
It's when you can't function for a week and move
your.
So a lot of the people that come to me, I'm like, hey, I know you're sore from that crazy workout. Yeah, go ahead and stretch it out. Do your self-massage. That'll make you feel better. But the next time around, maybe you should drop the amount of work you're doing during your exercises and your workout so you're not as sore the next time around.
100%. And one thing I love about your Instagram is that you give, you know, Instagram is minute clips. And I guess some of your things go over into IGTV, but minute clips on very easy. You don't really even talk, really, do you, on any of them or hardly any of them?
Yeah, before I never, you know, talked at all because I'm like, I hate talking in front of people, even though it was just a camera, but I always thought it was awkward.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do a little bit more talking stuff now, but I keep a lot of them are just tutorials and demos that I just have music over.
Do you do them all yourself? Do you have someone helping you with that?
No, I'm a true definition of a solopreneur.
Wow.
Yeah, so I still don't have anyone on staff. I don't have I outsource a couple of things, but not my video editing. So I actually do all my video editing, all of my business stuff. So, yeah, I do everything still. I probably should get a little bit more efficient.
Well, so. I'll tell you, respect, because that is no joke, learning how to do all that.
Yeah, luckily, this is one thing, is I kept everything very simple. So when you look at my Instagram, it's a little mumble-jumble now, but, you know, back in the day, it was just one layout every single time.
It's the split side, right? You did that a lot.
Exactly. Yeah. And the reason why was, I wasn't good at video editing. I had Adobe Premiere on my laptop before, and I was like, well, I'm paying for it, might as well use it. But I always tell people I use like 1% of the features, because I just drag and, you know, put the video here, put a white screen here. But I kept the same layout strategically because it was very easy to edit. That way it didn't take up too much of my time and it kept it consistent. So people like, wow, you spent so much time. Well, at the beginning, yeah, but after a little bit, I kind of got into a rhythm. And it didn't take me that long. And that was a reason why. And I think it comes into business and exercise. Like, if you can keep everything very simple, you can be more efficient at it and you'll probably be better at it.
Amen. Simple is my middle name.
We have so much other crap to think about. So keeping it simple is the best.
And it's funny. I hear my husband, he's a teacher. He was supposed to retire this year. Gosh knows how that's, you know, what's happening. But yeah, they're all online right now, and I heard him go, I hate technology, and I'm like, oh, welcome to our house. It's pretty much two old people trying to figure this out. Yeah, for sure. The easier, the better. But I'm so impressed that you do all of that. But I just love how easy it is to understand the whole tennis ball thing. That's kind of your thing, right? That's what everyone
sees. Do you know the reason why I did that?
No.
Okay, so a lot of people don't know the reason is at the beginning of my Instagram page, I was only doing self-massage techniques. So I made sure people knew I had a tennis ball. You needed the tennis ball. You put it here, and then I would place it here. I tried to make it as foolproof as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But then I ran out of body parts.
Oh. So
I was like, oh, what am I going to do?
There's a finite amount of those.
So I had this like bright idea of, hey, if I throw the tennis ball, people will know I don't need it for a muscle of release. I'm doing a stretch. But then I forgot people follow you at different times, and then you're doing other things at the same. So people got so confused. But that was kind of the story behind the tennis ball.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's very cool to know, because that's like a thing.
Yeah, then people just said, Joe, keep it, because it's like your brand now.
Yeah,
so people look at me like, hey, you're like the stretching tennis ball guy. And someone actually told me, they're like, Joe, you're so smart. And I'm like, why? And he's like, you're keeping people's attention by waving the tennis ball for like 3 seconds. And that's what it takes for a view on Instagram. This was like back in 2017.
But that's such a great point.
And I had no clue.
Just the waving. Yes. It draws people in. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, so this guy was like, oh, you're so smart by using this theory and technique. And I'm like, I have no clue what you're talking about. He's like, yeah, the tennis ball, that's to keep people's attention, right? I'm like, no, but
okay.
Hey, I guess I'm doing something right.
Okay, sure, we'll go with that. Yeah, whenever I hear the word algorithm, I just go blah, 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 because, oh, I don't even know what it means. I don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of us obsessed about it early on Instagram. It was a balance of, hey, we want to put good content out, but how do we get as many eyeballs on it? And then now it doesn't really matter. It's just about helping people.
100% it is. And I got over the whole, this has to be perfect, this has to be whatever, you know, screw that. It is what it is. I had someone tell me that I'm almost as known for technology being my worst enemy as I am anything else. And then so many people say, I relate to that. So it's so funny what people, you know, can relate to, I guess.
Go ahead. Yeah, people just gravitate towards the person anyway. So it's, if they don't like you if they don't like what you're doing, then they end up leaving anyway. So it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is me. So it is what it is. You get all of it. I wanted to make sure I brought up too, your mini band thing. How are you doing with that sale? Your mini band sale.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Cause I bought some when I saw you do that.
So I actually print all of them out and I put it. I'm like, oh, Susan bought some.
Yeah. I saw that. I'm like, I am so in. Tell everybody about that. I love that idea.
Yeah. So I had a extra box of mini bands. So I used to sell mini bands on my website and, I pretty much stopped. But I found a box of 100 units, under my computer desk over on this side. And with all this stuff going on, I figured, you know what, I'll essentially donate them, to, this, I guess, fund, and I'll sell them on my website again. But this time I'll take 100% of the proceeds. I made sure to cover the expense of the shipping too. So, it would essentially be $1,000, that we could donate to a relief fund. So I posted yesterday afternoon, on my page saying that I wanted to do this, and by the nighttime, sold out.
Wow.
Yeah. And then donated $1,000 to, it's called Direct Relief, I believe. And they offer, medical gear directly to the hospitals and, masks and gowns, and made sure it was going to the Corona Relief. I'm fortunate enough where, again, like I don't make that much money. I have enough money to like pay my rent and eat. But a lot of people think I'm like crushing it. I'm like, I'm making okay money. So I have enough for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what can I do to help other people during this time? Because I talk to a lot of my friends, they're losing their jobs and they have families. It's like, I'm single. I have an apartment by myself. Like I can afford at least right now to give a little bit. So I wanted to make sure that I gave people something that they could use of value, because all these home workouts, you need mini bands for.
100%, right?
And then wanted to donate all of that money to a relief fund. And I'm going to try to do more in the future. So instead of I obviously need to eat and have a business as well.
Yeah, of course.
I wanted to make sure that I do something outside of my business. So I'm probably going to do some challenges, and it'll be, you can join them for free, but I would love it if you donated $5-$10, to do it. Because again, I know there's so many people who are struggling at this time anyway. So if you just need a little release and want to do something, you can join for sure. But if you have the funds and the means to donate $5-$10, then I'll use all of that money to donate to another relief fund or, charity. But I'm getting really into this because, not everyone has a big platform that they can use. And, we're all about helping people. So for me, it feels way better to, give $1,000 than to receive $1,000.
I just think that is such a great thing to do. And when I saw that, I must've hit it pretty early on. I saw that. I'm like, I literally just went right and did it.
You were in the first batch.
Cause I actually could use some more mini bands. I start buying these sets, and over the years I've lost, through whatever, they sit in my gym bag and who knows where they all are. So yeah, I mean, I actually can use the mini bands too. But when I saw that, first of all, it was you and that what you were doing, it was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I thought that was just amazing. So that's great to know that you'll have other things coming up for people too. I love that.
Yeah, my initial plan right now is I'll have like a hip program that it will be released every week for maybe for 4 weeks, a mid-back, a T-spine program for you. And then,
love that.
And then maybe keep it just at that, and maybe a shoulder mobility program, and then do 4 videos. They get released every week. And again, if you want to join, it'll be $5 to $10. And if you just want to join and you can't afford it, then it's totally free. And then I'm just going to talk to some of my followers and see if there's any charities out there that they really like, and then we can donate on, you know, everyone's behalf.
That's amazing. Well, tell, before we get off of here, tell everyone where they can find you or how they can connect with you if they don't already know. They should know, but if they don't.
Yeah, so you can always find me on Instagram. I'm always jumping on there, posting something every single day on the stories. So you can find me on at JoeTherapy on Instagram. JoeTherapy on YouTube. I'm trying to bump up my YouTube presence, but it is a lot tougher because it takes a little bit more editing, but trying to put more stuff up there.
Yeah.
JoeTherapy.com. And then also you can find my book at BetterStretching.com or at any big retailers online, like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Powell's Book. And then also upgrading my membership site too. So if anyone joins and they want to stick around for a little bit, I'm going to grandfather them in. It's going to be a new website, also coming out with a mobile experience too. So I'll have an app
Wow.
for people, because that was a big ask. And again, it costs money, so I wanted to wait until I could spin it. But might be a bad time because of all this stuff. But who cares?
You know, so if people want information or want to be in the loop when these programs come out, that's going to be through your website, or they're going to find that on Instagram?
I usually announce everything on Instagram okay. just because it's a little bit easier. So Perfect. I'll post that on my main page. I'll put it in my story. And, yeah, they can find everything there most of the time.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for doing this. This was great.
No, thank you for having me. It was so much fun talking.
It was great to chat with you. We will connect soon. Stay safe and healthy down there in Orlando. And, yeah, you and I will be in touch.
Yeah, I know. Next time everything just calms down, we'll go to New York City, hang out with Jordan.
Yes.
And grab some good dinner.
I'm hoping, we're still hoping.
Oh, yeah.
That the retreat, I mean, we're on pins and needles with the retreat in Austin in July. You know, it's probably going to be out of our control, but fingers crossed that we can see you there.
That's right. But, I totally forgot about that.
And then maybe, yeah, we'll definitely have to do the New York thing when things settle down up there.
So hopefully that the inner circle happens, because I was super excited about that when he asked me about it. So hopefully everything calms down again. Yeah, whatever is best for the United States at that time. But hopefully it works.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great to see you, Joe. Take care, okay?
Thank you so much.